federal agencies are too quick to dismiss employee discrimination charges. Don't take my word for it. That's according to the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. The EEOC reversed a third of all cases dismissed by agencies between 2008 and 2012, those that happened without investigations or hearings. The agency received more than 1,500 dismissal appeals in fiscal 2012 and remanded nearly 700 of them back to agencies. Carlton Haddon is the director of the Office of Federal Operations for the EEOC. He joins me now with what federal managers can do to avoid having those decisions overturned. Carlton, good morning.
Good morning.
All right. So this is a pretty bad problem. There's a new report that you have put out. Why are so many cases getting flung back at the agencies?
Well, that's an area that we really have to look at a little bit closer. We looked at beginning in 2008 to 2012, and the percentage increased. We were a little bit surprised to see that increase from about 30% in 2008 to about a little bit of 45% in 2012. So we really have to take a look at that a little bit deeper.
All right. So what did you find when you looked at it?
Well, what we looked at is that agencies can, when they get these complaints, they have an opportunity to investigate them or to send them or to dismiss them. And when they dismiss the complaints, what we found is there are two general areas they're dismissing on. One is what we call failure to state a claim. It's a kind of a legal aspect of it. And the other is dismissal for untimeliness. And those are the two largest areas which agencies were dismissing complaints. And then when we looked further at that, we saw that they were getting it wrong more than we thought they should. So
these are cases where the discrimination claim was dismissed by the agency, and then the employee went to the EEOC, and then you decided in 45% of the cases the agency was wrong to dismiss it.
That's correct.
All right, so let's talk about the first one. You said a legality. What is the reason agencies gave for dismissing it, and where did they go wrong?
Well, where they went wrong basically is that when you're looking at the failure to state the claim, you really got to see whether or not the person has identified a basis, an area for which we have coverage, like race, color, gender, et cetera, and whether there's a harm. What agencies tended to do is to look at discrete incidents as opposed to, for example, looking to see whether or not the complainant is saying there's harassment in the workplace. And so what happens is they will look at one incident and say, well, that's untimely, we're going to reject it. That's untimely, we're going to reject that. The better approach would be to look at all of these incidents to see whether or not the person is claiming there's a harassment claim. And that's one area, for example, in which agencies were in trouble. The second one would be looking at timeliness claims. In order to show that the complainant may be untimely, there has to be sufficient information in the record. And if we don't see that information in the record, which an agency provides us, you know, we're going to send it back because it's on the agency's burden. It's the agency's burden to put that information in the record. The most important thing, I think, Tom, is that we are certainly willing and able to provide assistance to agencies as, training and technical assistance as to how they should be looking at these complaints.
Now, when you get to the issue of whether there was a work environment that is hostile because of complaints, does that mean that in some cases there were maybe clusters of complaints in the same area and each one was treated as individually and dismissed somehow without the manager seeing or adding up the fact that maybe 5 or 10 people might have complained over a period of time?
Well, that's one aspect of it, or even looking at one individual more than several people. If that one individual, had only mentioned this incident, which would be technically untimely, then another incident, which would be timely, rather than looking at both to say, well, this is really a workplace harassment question, and let's look at it, they tend to take a very technical, approach and say, well, no, this is untimely, so we're going to reject that one, but we'll look at that one. And then you're kind of what we call fragmenting the claim. And when you do that, you're really not getting the whole picture. And most managers want to make sure they understand what the issues are. And when we say the managers, I think a lot of times it's either their EEO office or their legal counsel office, which is giving them guidance. And maybe the guidance is technically not precise.
So in other words, it could have been the manager who is doing the alleged discrimination. It's the EEO office that is dismissing these things wrongly.
That is correct. That is correct.
Okay, and if what can the local EEO office in an agency do if it says, yeah, this does look like discrimination? What should happen?
Well, they should certainly eliminate discrimination. That's without saying. But more importantly, they will remedy the discrimination if that is what they found. That's what they should do.
We're speaking with Carlton Haddon. He's the director of the Office of Federal Operations for the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. And on that issue of untimeliness, you said there's information that needs to be in the record. What are some of those elements of information that are sometimes missing that agencies, and again, I guess this is the EEO office of an agency, are not putting into the record that you say they need to put in?
Well, for example, if they say that in order to file a complaint, you have to file it within 45 days of the incident. And if you really have evidence or showing that the person's complaint wasn't filed within that time frame, put that in the file, as opposed to you may know that, then you don't put the document which establishes that in the record. So when it comes before the commission, before EEOC, we're looking to see why it happened. We see where the agency states in its what we call FAD, final agency decision. But then when you look to see if there's a document which, you know, verifies that, it's not there. And because of the process, the burden really is on the agency to have that information in the record. I mean, that's really pretty simple thing to do, but I think people just kind of get lost because they look at it, because we're talking now about our procedural complaints, Tom, and really a lot of the attention goes to what we call complaints on the merits of the complaint. I think more attention has been given to those kinds of complaints, but these procedural complaints, as our report shows, are really important because one of the things the commission is looking at is preserving access to the legal system, and that certainly includes legal access for federal employees. And so that's why we did the report, and that's why we want to make sure that agencies are really looking carefully at these types of complaints, because if you think about how long it takes to do this process, the agency rejects it, it comes to our office, we find it was wrong, it goes back to the agency. That's taking way too much time when we really perhaps could have resolved it a lot quicker had the agency just looked at it, investigated it, and took care of it, either if there's a discrimination finding or if not, you know, just dismiss it, and then we'll look at the whole complaint, including the merits of the complaint.
Yeah, because the merit, I guess, has to come into this at some point. So of these, of the 45% of the roughly 1,600 decisions that you sent back, and you said most of it was because of record keeping or legality issues. What about the merits? I mean, how often do you see cases that were dismissed and yet you find the agency missed the merit in the case? How often does that happen?
Yeah, our study did not report on that, but those types of cases, the percentage for which we return them or find discrimination is smaller, because what we've found is if there is a finding of discrimination, if there's an issue, most managers, most agencies are going to resolve it and take care of it. So the percentage is a little bit smaller. I don't have it right in front of me, but it's in our annual report. I think it's under 10%, but it's a smaller percentage.
And of the I realize this is not part of this latest report, but just in general, what of the cases that are found to be discrimination, in merit, I mean, that really there was discrimination, what is there any mode of discrimination that seems to be predominant?
Not really. When you say mode, for example,
well, racial or sexual orientation, that kind of thing,
yeah.
One of those categories.
Most complaints we have are filed based upon what we call is reprisal, which is similar to what I think most managers acknowledge and know as kind of whistleblowing. In other words, because I've participated in the EEO process or I've opposed something discriminatory, I am being subjected to discrimination. Those are the largest percentage of complaints we get that we look at and make a finding on. I think the next one is probably race discrimination.
And earlier you mentioned that one of the trends that the report shows is not so much that the decisions that are coming in the number of decisions you're getting back that you're looking at has been steady up or down, you know, since 2008 to 2012.
Right.
But the number that you found that were wrongly dismissed, that you had to remand, that's been steadily marching upward.
That's right.
So is that a training issue? Is that a turnover in EEO officers? What do you think is causing that?
I think it's a training and educational issue more than anything else. I think that's an issue we've got to look at carefully to understand why it increased so dramatically, percentage-wise at least. But I really think it's an education issue, technical assistance, and looking at these issues more carefully. I don't believe it's necessarily over, the turnover in an EE office. I think that's probably more what this is about. And we're going to reach out to agencies, and certainly they can always reach out to us. And anyone who has a question could certainly look at our Twitter account and follow us there, which is EEOC_OFO or EEOC News, and we'll be glad to help managers and any employee who has a question about this area.
But are you planning some kind of a formal way of making sure that this latest findings get out to agencies with, a checklist of things they should be doing when they get these cases?
Yeah, we previewed this report with the agencies before we, officially released it. And as our ongoing effort to make sure they're, following, we're going to follow up with the agencies, particularly those that have the largest percentage.
And just over the years, though, is it safe to say that discrimination, the actual occurrence of it, is something that's getting lower and lower in government?
I don't know if I could say that because I think what we've observed is we've looked at this through other reports. There's what we call is many call unconscious bias or subtle forms of discrimination. That's the area for which I think there is some growth, if you will, or opportunities to kind of figure out what's going on. The types of discrimination that people might recall in terms of just because of the person's status. And, that's certainly subsiding, at least the cases, but the cases that we're confronting now are cases involving subtle forms of discrimination. And those are sometimes a little bit more challenging to review and to make a finding on.
Well, we'll have to discuss that one other day. Carlton Haddon is Director of the Office of Federal Operations for the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you for inviting me.